Thank you so much for listening to our conversation on Juneteenth. We recorded this podcast in 2021, and this topic still, and I think always, will have relevance as a unique part of U.S. history. Since last year, there have been a few exciting updates. The person who's leading this podcast and offering us all kinds of amazing, informative historical information is Stephen Bradley, who is now the professor of Black Studies and History at Amherst College in Amherst, Massachusetts. And I'm now the VP for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility and Learning and Development here at GKG. And now that we've got that upfront stuff out of the way, I hope you enjoy the podcast. Hi, everyone. I'm Danielle Demesme, Golden Key Group's Managing Director for Inclusion and Culture, and I'll be hosting this episode of the GKG On Air podcast. For those of you who I haven't met, I've been with GKG for over, I think, 10 years now, and I took on the role of directing the Inclusion and Culture Office, and it's what we refer to as the INC, in January of 2021. I'm so thrilled to be here today with my friend Stephen Bradley, a professor in the African American Studies Department at Loyola Marymount University in California. Stephen is a recipient of numerous awards and commendations for his scholarship, teaching, leadership, and service. Originally from Yakima, Washington, Stephen researches the effects of student activism on college campuses. He is the author of Upending the Ivory Tower, Civil Rights, Black Power, and the Ivy League, and Harlem versus Columbia University, Black Student Power in the Late 1960s. His work has appeared in the New York Times, Washington Post, Rolling Stone, on the OWN Network, and now on our podcast. Professor Bradley, thank you so much for joining us here on GKG On Air to talk about Juneteenth.
Well, I so appreciate the invitation, and I'm happy to speak with you.
Let me just give the audience a little background. So Juneteenth is in honor of one of the final acts of emancipation of slaves in the U.S. It traces its origins back to Galveston, Texas, where on June 19, 1865, Union soldiers landed in the city with news that the Civil War had ended and slaves were now free. Stephen, I am excited to hear from you. I have a question. Juneteenth has technically been celebrated for over 100 years, but recently it's grown in traction and visibility. Can you just talk to us a little bit about the significance of it being brought to the forefront of cultural celebrations in the United States?
Yeah, no, thank you. And thank you, GKG, for celebrating and even recognizing Juneteenth. I think this is a holiday that had been, pretty much an internal holiday, you could say, amongst the African-American community. And then even not many or not all in the African-American community knew about Juneteenth. And so many people who have roots to the South, and particularly Texas, have long celebrated Juneteenth. And, you know, it was, as you mentioned in your introduction, the arrival of Union soldiers during those teens in June to let the enslaved people know that they were henceforth free. And that came, you know, with some sticky instructions. Like, this is something that when I was growing up in the Northwest, we also celebrated. So it's gained prominence here recently, largely because of the efforts of the movement for Black Lives and the desire and demand that Black people be recognized in all of their humanity, including the celebration. So one of the things that we've been talking about in these contemporary times is Black death, but we also have to celebrate Black life and Black freedom. So that's, I think, how it became more prominent in these recent years, prominent to the point where politicians throughout various states and at the federal level are looking to have Juneteenth recognized as a holiday.
Absolutely. Stephen, you're right. When I was in school, we didn't learn a lot about Juneteenth at all. I mean, I think we kind of learned that war was over, there was an Emancipation Proclamation. So it's really nice to see this emerging and learning about our collective history. So I have another question for you. Scholars have pointed out that Juneteenth has become the most prominent emancipation holiday in the U.S., even though the December 1865 ratification of the 13th Amendment enshrined the end of slavery into the Constitution and the 1863 Emancipation Proclamation freed slaves in the Confederate States. Can you discuss why Juneteenth has risen to the forefront?
Oh, I don't think that one would be too hard. It's the people's holiday. And so when we talk about the Emancipation Proclamation, I think one of the kind of myths about the Emancipation Proclamation is that on January 1st, 1863, Lincoln issued this Emancipation Proclamation, and all of a sudden the Confederacy listened and said, "You're right. We'll go ahead and free all of our enslaved people." At that point, there were two different nations. There was the Confederate States of America and the United States of America. And so they weren't even recognizing any proclamations from Abraham Lincoln. So, in fact, those enslaved people in rebel territory were not free by the Emancipation Proclamation. What did happen, though, with the Emancipation Proclamation is African Americans were allowed to join with the Union military. And that made the difference in the closing of the war. So I think when we talk about Black families also celebrate Emancipation Day on January 1st, but on January 1st, they'd be like, you know, it's Emancipation Day, you know, Emancipation Proclamation. But what we get to is, you know, in April, the war ends, in the spring, the war ends, and you see the surrender at Appomattox. But Texas was the West. It wasn't the main part of the action in terms of the war. And so it took a while for news to get out there. It took a while for, you know, messages to get out to Texas. That's why they didn't get news until June. And the celebration right away, people talk about Juneteenth. One of the words that's always associated with Juneteenth is Jubilee. And so the celebrations that occurred when General Granger rode up, him and his troops, when they told them that they would be free, the enslaved people hollered Jubilee and tears fell from their eyes and they danced in ring shouts and everything else. That's the way a holiday is supposed to be. And so policy is the 13th Amendment. That's true enough. And that's what makes it official by way of the Constitution. But holidays are what the people celebrate. So that's why I think it's, you know, it's been so prominent.
But yeah, that really, really helps. And you know, you triggered a thought for me around January 1st, which was a day where a lot of slaves were sold, right? So to actually celebrate this as a real emancipation makes sense on that day as well. And the other thing, too, was my family's from Louisiana, as you know, and I know all the parishes. You know, all the slaves were emancipated in all the parishes, even though there was supposed to be some sort of global emancipation. So I thought that was always interesting when I learned about that. How do you think people can honor and celebrate Juneteenth?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm hoping for is that Juneteenth doesn't get the American holiday treatment, which is that, you know, we love pop firecrackers and sizzle meat on the holidays, but nobody knows precisely what we're celebrating.
Right.
And it's a bit frustrating. And so this is one of the most American holidays, you know, so when we think about Christmas, that's not an American holiday. The 4th of July is a Declaration of Independence and that kind of thing. But Juneteenth is where you have citizens made right then and there celebrating. And so I would just ask that people, before they sizzle the meat, before they, you know, pop firecrackers or play Frankie Beverly and Maze, that they would pause for a moment and think through what it meant for these people who were born into enslavement to access freedom all at once. And this is another important element of this. Juneteenth is about celebration, to be sure. But I think we have to do it soberly. And by that, I mean, when these enslaved people were informed that they would henceforth be free, they were given nothing but freedom. In most cases, there was no land allotment to come along with it or anything like this. So you can imagine what it felt like. There was the Golden Key Group, I'm sure, you know, has a wonderful 401k plan. And so when you get ready to leave, you can take that with you. There was no such thing for these enslaved people. And so all they had was freedom. And so starting over was treacherous, quite treacherous. And so quickly afterwards, you saw the enactment of laws. You saw a certain kind of policing that resembles some of the kind of policing we see in areas today. And you saw some rise of a certain kind of rage to reorder society to where these newly freed people would be back at the bottom again.
Absolutely. And what you said gave me goosebumps. It's citizens being made in real time. I mean, I think that's an absolutely beautiful sentiment, and that's something that we should remember. So, a little bit more about you. Can you tell us about the books you've written that tell the stories of Black families, students, faculty, and administrators who changed America's leading educational institutions?
That's very kind of you to ask. And yes, we can take the next 3 hours to work on that.
We have time. So, we have time.
No, I've been very blessed to be able to study the young people who have changed the world. And so I study a group of young people during the 1960s and early 1970s, but mostly in this post-World War II period, that this is a group of young people who were just crazy enough to think that they could shut down a war, who were just crazy enough to believe that they could challenge and check racism and eradicate racism. Mm-hmm. And they did so at some of the most elite institutions in American history. I call them the most American institutions, these Ivy League institutions. They had been around before there was a Declaration of Independence, before there was a Constitution. And so these young people, many of whom were Black, were able to change the curricula at these institutions. They were able to change long-held policies with regard to admissions and that sort of thing. They were able to challenge the university's role in what they considered war making. And so it's very exciting in the sense that they were able to change these very old institutions and the way that they had to approach Black people. And that to me is spectacular. And it goes along with, in some ways, the story of Juneteenth, which is that Black people were never given freedom. And I think that's very important to note. Black people were never given freedom. Black people fought for freedom. Black people earned freedom. Black people achieved freedom. And so the same thing occurs all throughout American history. And that is that on these campuses, these predominantly white institutions, Black people were forced oftentimes to welcome themselves, figure out ways to achieve. And they did so by working together. They did so by depending on community, sometimes external communities. And so that's what I get a chance to write about. I get to write about students taking deans hostage. I get to write about students working with Black Panthers. I get to write about students arming themselves in defense of Black women and all sorts of things like that. So it's very exciting. And that led to my first book, which was called Harlem versus Columbia University. I got a chance to write about the first collegiate fraternity for Black men, Alpha Phi Alpha. Mm-hmm. And I also got a chance to write about the Ivy League in its entirety, upending the ivory tower.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Stefan, for sharing that with us. And thank you for being here and talking about this uniquely American holiday and experience, Juneteenth. Is there anything else that you think that we should know? Or something else that we should be doing?
No, just be sure to reflect on freedom, especially in this moment. It's a very tense moment with regard to the democracy. And so it's up to us to maintain freedom. And it's most important in my mind to ensure the consistent freedom of African Americans, because that tells the story for the rest of America.
Beautifully put. Once again, thank you so much for joining us today on GKG On Air. But hey, before I let you go, where can we see you next?
Wonderful question. I will next be on the History Channel on June 19th, on Juneteenth, and there will be a documentary that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar put together called Fight the Power. And so you may see me there.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. This was just illuminating and kind of soul gratifying. And you are an honorary member of GKG, and we hope to have you on this podcast again.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.